Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all together here this morning. Lord, we praise you so much for the time we've been able to spend already this morning sitting under your word and rejoicing that our names are written in the book of life. Lord, we're so grateful that you came into this world because of your great love of the world to seek and to save the lost. So, Lord, we do pray that you would fill us this morning with just such an incredible sense of love for you, and that would compel us to love others, and it would be that love that would keep us fresh in evangelism. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So yeah, the handout's in the chat. Hopefully you've all got a copy of it. And for those who don't know me, my name's Carl. So I'm married to Sarah. I've got two daughters, Lyra and Sophie, and I work in the city for an insurance broker called Howden as the client money manager. And I'm just really grateful that you guys have joined this morning. And I'm really grateful to be able to serve at this seminar, because I think what we're about to discuss, I've really needed to hear myself as I've been preparing this. I lead a couple of partnership Bible studies, and amongst kind of other ministry commitments and being a dad and keeping work going. And I think this year has been really, really tough. For 12 months, I've been doing ministry behind a screen. I've been doing evangelism through a screen. I've been doing church through a screen. I've been doing work through a screen. And there's been moments where it's felt lonely. It's felt difficult. It's felt isolating. And I reckon there's probably some amongst you that are feeling the same right now. So firstly, I just want to say thank you to all of you for how you've been leading your groups in the last year, for your love, for your sacrifice for God's people. And love is actually what I want to focus on today, because I think evangelism has got to come from the heart. And I think there's a danger, and I think there's been a big danger in this last year, particularly for me, that ministry and evangelism can become task focused. I'm doing it because it's something that needs to be done. And I've really felt that in the last year. And because of that, there's been times where I've struggled to keep going, to stay fresh. I've kind of trudged on rather than joyfully pushing on. And actually trudging on does no good to anyone. So I need to warm up my heart, and I need to keep my heart warm. I need to fill it with the love of Jesus, because it's that love that's going to keep us fresh in evangelism. I don't know how many of you were expecting this today, to be attending a seminar and actually listening to a 6'2" rugby player talk to you about love. But here we are. So let's keep going. And let's spend some time just working on our hearts. So my prayer is, what we do to work on our hearts today, you'd be able to use in the future to keep going as the years go by. Because as I said, in evangelism, we need to be filled with the love of Jesus. We need to first know and be filled with his love for us. And I think as we are, that will compel us to love others. And that's my first point on the handout for keeping us fresh in evangelism. We need to be motivated by the love that God has for us, because we'll then love God in return. So if you've got your Bibles there, please just open up Ephesians for me. And I'm just going to read a few verses to encourage us this morning from chapter 1. So that's Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 to 14. So this is Paul writing. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every special spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him,
were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Aren't those incredible, incredible verses? That's a passage in the Bible where I always feel like as I read it, I need to just go faster and faster because it gets more and more exciting as you get to the end. Paul is just exploding in amazement at what God has, is, and will do for him, for you, and for me. So my first tip for keeping fresh in evangelism this morning, and this is something that I've done, is spend some time just writing down some key Bible verses, some big Bible truths that will motivate you, that will keep you going. Because evangelism's tough. We battle with sin. We've got times when we're busy. We've got times when we're scared. And it's in those times when we need to come back to these big Bible truths, and they will compel us to love again. Because actually, it's that love that will enable us to get back into the saddle and push on into the battle with the right motivations. I'm not trudging on, but joyfully pushing on because we love God and that love is compelling us to love others. So yeah, why not this weekend? Just spend some time thinking of those big Bible truths that will really motivate you, those that will fill you with the Lord again and again and again. So over the years, when things are tough, you can keep coming back to them. You've got them up your sleeve to kind of read and pray through them. And why don't we just spend 5 minutes doing that now? Just maybe in a couple of breakout groups. Why don't we just pray and give thanks for some of these incredible truths that we've just read in Ephesians? And, you know, if you've got any other big Bible truths that you know help you, just spend 5 minutes praying those for you and for the others in your group. And then we'll come back. Yes, I do hope that was an encouragement just to spend some time praying through those wonderful blessings that we have. And yeah, I was just about to pray that we'd be filled like the Apostle Paul. We would just overflow with this joy that we can't help but keep it to ourselves, because we just know how good Jesus is. We know how good the gospel is. We know how good our inheritance is that's being kept for us. So, you know, it's nice to do this as a group, but when, you know, the months go by and we're maybe feeling a little bit isolated in our workplaces or in our families as the only Christian, that's why I really recommend spending some time writing these truths down, those big Bible truths, and just keep coming back to them. It's one of the most helpful exercises I've done as a Christian. And when I know that I'm feeling flat, I think I need to pick up that book again. I need to go back to those truths and I need to just remind myself. And actually, one of the big Bible truths that I've written down is Matthew 22, 36 to 39. So Jesus is asked by a lawyer in those verses what the great commandment in the law is. And Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the reason I've chosen these verses to come back to is because it really helps me to focus on loving God. If I love God, then I'll love what God loves. And God loves people. God loves them so much that he sent his only son into the world to die for them. So I think my second tip for keeping fresh in evangelism is thinking about the people that God's put around you. And we're going to spend a moment just thinking of those around us who don't yet know Jesus. So if you would, please jump back into Ephesians, and I'm just going to read the first few verses of chapter 2. So that's Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith,
And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, that so no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So do you see again the great love that God has lavished on us? In mercy, we're alive with Christ, released from following Satan because of his love. And he's prepared good works for us. Now, he's prepared them. Those works are guaranteed. And I think this passage always spurs me on to the love of others because it shows their predicament. They're under the prince of the power of the air. They're dead, children of wrath. So when I think of my mum, my dad, my children, my friends, my colleagues, my wife's family, this is their situation. And it has to move me to love them, to pray for them, to speak the truth of the gospel to them. So my second tip to keeping fresh in evangelism is, again, spend some time writing down the names of all those you know and care about who don't yet know Jesus. And then write those same Bible truths down next to their names. And then pray through it and make a plan to speak with them about Jesus. And we can do that now in a really, really simple way. So we can head back into breakout rooms and maybe just, if you'd like to, just share the name of one person who you'd really love to be saved. And then we can spend some time in our groups praying for them. And then why not make a commitment in your group that we'll write down the names of that we've heard that morning, and we'll keep praying for them through the rest of the year. Because actually, this is the critical unseen work in evangelism. So spending time in prayer and spending time thinking about how we're going to reach people, well, actually, when nobody else is looking, when we're prioritizing that, that demonstrates that we love them. Nobody sees it, but we're compelled to do it. So let's go into our rooms now, and we'll just spend maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes just praying through a name each of somebody that we'd love to see the Lord Jesus have mercy on. Yeah, as I said, why not, if you've written those names down, just make a commitment to regularly through the year just pray through those names that we've heard. So yeah, there's the first two things I think that are really helpful for keeping fresh in evangelism, is to write down those big Bible truths. You know, think of your mission field, the people you love and you care about that God has put around you. Write down those names next to those big Bible truths. And I don't do this religiously, but it's a good thing to keep coming back to and reminding yourself and praying for them. And then the third thing I just want to talk about this morning is what I call my spiritual MOT, which is something I do every few months. And it was something I did not long after becoming a Christian. And it's been, again, probably one of the most helpful things that I found to keep me going with evangelism, which was a real honesty session. I spent an afternoon with a piece of paper just thinking through what stops me sharing the gospel. And I wrote some things down, and I'll share a screen in a minute to show you. And there's a template on the handouts. And it's something that I have to keep coming back to, because actually Satan's sneaky, sin catches up with me, times get busy, time situations change. So the things that stop me sharing the gospel can change from time to time. I've just got on top of one thing and something else will sneak in and blindside me. And that's why it's helpful to think this through. But what I did is I spent a little bit of time just thinking through what's the thing that stops me. And the way I got to that is I thought through the things that I catch myself saying and thinking, which is this column B, when it comes to evangelism. So when an opportunity comes, what do I think or say? And you know, I found I think things like, people are going to get angry, I don't want to upset them, they're going to think I'm weird, they're going to talk about me behind my back. A very recent one that I've added in is like fearful of the diversity agenda. They're pushing that really hard at work at the moment. So how am I going to kind of push on through that? And I was able to kind of categorize all of that into a fear of man once I'd spent some time thinking about it. And then I began to think through, well, how can I push on? So what does it reveal about my relationship with the Lord? And what's the main antidote going to be? So those horrible colors are, those kind of orange is mainly spiritual, and the purple ones are mainly practical things where I need some help. So then how can I persevere and how can I keep going? And I've just written down some things that will help me. You can link that into those big Bible truths as well. And what I found when I've done this training in different places is lots of the fears and the practical things are the same wherever you really go. I find that not sure how or when. So I'll ask myself questions. How do I start a conversation? How do I get people to Jesus? I don't know how to explain the gospel. What about questions? Waiting for opportunities. Again, during lockdown, working from home is limited contact with colleagues. How am I going to, if that's what's going on, that's what's preventing me, how am I going to think through how I'm going to fix that? So, you know, how I'm going to think intentionally, what can I do to practice those things? And I found those different idols, such as self, security, relationships. Like if I share the gospel at work, it might cost me my promotion or pay rise or even my job. I don't want to lose relationships. If I share the gospel with these people that I really love, what if they never speak to me again? So all of these kind of insecurities and things that come through, or just plain busyness, which I think we're all probably feeling through lockdown. You know, I'm just too busy. I need to do this. I need to get through this period with my job. Once the kids have finished through this term, I just need to finish something else. I'm busy with these other areas of ministry. At lockdown, I'm just going to wait for this period with COVID to finish. I find myself thinking that in the last couple of months as well. So again, how am I going to work through it intentionally? What am I going to say to myself to kind of keep going? So I would recommend for each of you to spend a little bit of time just writing down the things that you know hold you back from sharing the gospel. And if they're spiritual things, where can you go into the Bible, or how can you work with another Christian to help you persevere and grow in those spiritual things? If they're practical things, well, who can you speak to help you? If you're in a position where you don't quite know how to explain the gospel, who can you go to ask to help you with that? Or making use of other Christians and speaking to them about how do they start conversations? How are they going in evangelism during lockdown? If you know, like me, my colleagues are all hidden behind a screen and don't turn their cameras on these days and seem to be relentlessly busy, like how do you get Jesus to them? So there's a kind of blank template on the handout. And again, I'd recommend if you've got time, even over this weekend, to work through some of those things. And as I said, to keep coming back to it, I find it so helpful because what it does is it reveals where kind of sin or idols have crept in, and they always are, or it reveals that my priority and my focus has shifted from the kind of love of God and the love of others. I'm just bogged down with the busyness of life, and I'm not making any time for Jesus or for evangelism. So I'm happy to share this in the chat at the end if anybody would find it helpful. But what I figured I would do is maybe stop there, and just at this point we've got a few minutes left. Just ask if anybody's got any questions, either on the kind of what stops us, or wants to share any observations or encouragements from what we thought about this morning.
I've got a question, Carl.
Sure.
Have you found sharing the gospel, like I just say, in a workplace that is really pushing diversity and with a Christian gospel that is offensive because it says there is only one way?
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder in that regard, isn't it? I think it's our company is really pushing diversity and inclusion at the moment. And what that means is forwarding the LGBT agenda primarily, and to the silence of almost any other issue. And again, I think it comes down to what we've been thinking about this morning with our individual colleagues. If we're creating individual relationships with them where they know that we love them. Rico Tice in his training does a helpful kind of circle of engaging people, which is to celebrate them, to serve them, to tell them, and to be able to exit conversations well. So celebrate people. You know, they're made in the image of God. God loves them. Jesus died for them. So get alongside them and be their friend and enjoy the things that they enjoy and share that with them. Serve them, particularly at work. I like to think of at work, what can I do to push others forward and to really help them and to serve and to make my boss look good so that they can tell that I'm interested in them and I care about them. But then also asking questions like, what keeps you up at night? Like, what's your biggest stress? What's your biggest worry? And being able to help people through that. Again, they can tell that you care in an individual relationship. And then when it comes to telling the gospel, even if it's a message that really, you know, if we're sharing the gospel, the sin is going to connect at some point in their life, whatever it is. But they know that you're telling them from a position of love and care because of how you relate to them. But if they don't respond well, or you know, it's degenerating a little bit, just exit well, change the subject, and go back to celebrating and serving them. So you don't think, oh, I've tried, I'll leave it there. Keep loving them, and then that opportunity to come around, we'll do it again. So I always find working with individuals, taking them out for coffees, and engaging in that sense is often a lot easier than trying to engage in a big debate in the office. Sometimes that happens, but I think it's more effective growing relationships.
That's really helpful, thanks.
Thanks.
Well, I have a question. I was wondering if you had any wisdom on how to talk to people that you've known for a very long time, but you've only in the last few years sort of realised how important speaking about Jesus to them is. And so you've had, say, 10 years of friendship where you've been a Christian, but you haven't thought it's important to share the gospel with them. You suddenly realise, I really need to share the gospel with them. How do you sort of almost bring it up without it being really strange that all of a sudden you're talking about Jesus, even though they've known you've been a Christian for ages?
Yeah, I think it will be really strange if you bring up Jesus, so be prepared for that. But I think you can disarm them by apologising, because you've known them for so long. I've had to do this with a few people, to say, look, I'm a Christian, and I believe that your eternal reality depends on what you do with Jesus, and that there's kind of an eternal judgment or a glorious future with a God who loves you. And actually, I'm really sorry that I've never told you about this before. I should have done, and it's wrong of me. Do you mind if I just spend a minute explaining the Christian message and being really, really clear? And then you can say, do you understand? I talked about heaven, hell, judgment. Can you understand why I'd want to share that with you and why it was wrong of me not to share it before? So you can almost try and disarm them by apologizing and seeking their forgiveness, and then explaining that the reason you're telling them is because you believe it with your whole heart and you love them and you think it's really important for them to know, and you'd love to spend some more time talking about it.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Carl, how do you think about praying for individuals? Sometimes I think of the list of people that, you know, grows with colleagues and friends and people at church and so on. My head kind of explodes because there's so many people, and you know, how am I going to keep praying for these guys and commit to them? How do you manage that? And I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. You're going to see how truly boring I am now. I've got an evangelism spreadsheet, so I don't recommend spreadsheets for everybody. Where I've simply listed the names of all the people that I'm kind of interacting with, and I have some columns because I'm quite forgetful as well, where I just simply write like, do they know I'm a Christian? Yes or no. Have I shared the gospel with them? Yes or no. Have I offered to read the Bible with them? Yes or no. And I can kind of then, I've got a big list and I don't do it all the time, but I talk about doing my administration in evangelism. So in my secular job, nothing happens unless I do the admin and get prepared for it. And I think it's the same for those good works that Jesus has given us to do. We need to work at it. So on a Sunday night, I can look through that list of names and I can spend some time praying through all of it, but that's a long list of names. Or what I tend to do is look at my diary for the following week, and then I go to those names and I think, I'm going to see Jeff in a meeting on Tuesday. Jeff doesn't yet know I'm a Christian, so all I'm going to do on Tuesday is mention the fact that I go to church, unless an opportunity for the gospel comes. But then at least Jeff knows I'm a Christian, and next time I meet him, I'll be praying for the courage to share the gospel. But it won't be weird that I've shared the gospel because I've told him I'm a Christian. Or you might get the opportunity to move through each of those columns all in once. Like my new, I met a new team that I had to work with before Christmas, and my boss knew that I'd been doing some ministry, so he was teasing me about being a vicar, and he said, go on, tell the team. So it was his fault that I got to, in the first team meeting with everybody, I got to share the gospel with everybody. I went through kind of columns one and two. So it seems a bit methodical, but I find it really helpful. And then if, you know, I'm meeting somebody else and I have shared the gospel, maybe next time I'm meeting the meeting, I'm praying for an opportunity to ask them to read the Bible with me. So then it gives me something intentional to pray, and I'm going into the meeting with a purpose. Yeah, I want to get my work done and do all of that sort of stuff. But actually, there's a person there that needs Jesus. So I find that works for me. It might not work for everybody.
Thanks. I like spreadsheets as well, Carl.
Epic. It's so funny. Whenever I do training in churches, I talk about loving spreadsheets, and I'm kind of outing a secret Christian clique. There'll be a few people that come up to me afterwards and nudge me and say, yeah, I love spreadsheets too. So we're not alone, brother.
Carl, I found the example you gave really encouraging. I feel like I'm yet to find a comfortable place where I feel comfortable that that my colleagues see me, like the first thing they think of me is my Christian identity. Sometimes I find it awkward if people mention like I'm a Christian at a big meeting, and I don't feel comfortable talking about that yet, possibly because of the diversity and inclusion agenda at the company. And I feel like if I bring this up, people is going to ask me all sorts of questions. And I guess, yeah, and I'm comfortable sharing I am a Christian, but I haven't yet like got to the message yet, like what would that actually mean, and what do they need to do? I feel like that's a personal reflection, but I feel like that's a huge challenge to make that step.
Yeah, and it's not easy. So ask somebody to walk alongside you and to pray with you about that. So I think there's almost four stages we go through in evangelism. So the first one is kind of what we're doing this morning, which is getting ourselves motivated and prepared. So we have to do this work to get us going. The second one is being public as a Christian. So that's a big step, to let people know that you're a Christian and to be comfortable with that. And then after that, obviously, we've got to then go through the next kind of pain barrier of beginning to talk about it. Like, how do we bring Bible truth into everyday conversations? And I've got a presentation that I'll maybe share in the chat that you might find helpful. And then from that, how do we actually get to opening the Bible with people? That's my aim in all my evangelism, is to get the Bible open, because then they're speaking directly with the Good Shepherd. And if they're his sheep, they'll hear his voice and they'll follow him. It's a guarantee, and he'll give them eternal life. So ask somebody to pray with you about that. I'm public. I'm not quite sure how to go to them. Will you pray with me? And I've had a little WhatsApp group of guys where I'll share a little message. So I'll say, look, I'm going to go and have a coffee with Pete. I'm going to say I'm a Christian, or I'm going to share the gospel with him. Would you just pray with me? And I'll get a little WhatsApp message back saying that we're praying. And that just really helps me. So don't do it on your own. Like, find a partner or a group that will really encourage you in it, because I think as we do it on our own, we get picked off quite quickly because it's hard. So that would be my advice.
Thanks. How do you go from having built a relationship with someone to opening up the Bible with them? Do you go with kind of very direct, or is there a gradual step by step that you normally go with?
Depends on the situation. Often I've invited people out for a coffee with the sole intention of explaining that I'm a Christian and would they like to take a look at the Bible with me. And, you know, they're either going to say yes or no, or maybe. So if it's a no, that's fine. You know, I can keep serving them, and maybe the chance, if it's a yes, fantastic. If it's a maybe, we can keep working on it. So I wouldn't be afraid of asking people that, but I think it's good to, yeah, if we've got that relationship and we can meet somebody and we can just ask them, I think just go ahead and ask. And I've often found it's good, like we were talking about the long-term relationship, to say to any person, you know, I'm a Christian and this is what I believe, like I care about you, so do you mind if I just spend a minute explaining the Christian message? and then saying afterwards, can you understand why I want to share that with you? I believe it's true with all my heart. And everybody will say, wow, yeah, I can understand why you want to share that with me, but I'm not interested, or actually they'll want to find out some more. I'm just conscious it's 11:15, which I think is when we're due to draw to a close. Why don't I close us in prayer quickly? And I think I'll just use Paul's prayer from Ephesians as we've been in there. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.